Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday, December the 9th, 2025, 12-9-25, 18 minutes past the hour. And you're tuned into the morning show here on WGH Talk. Do want to thank the Marion Star again. Today, if you go out and get the actual newspaper edition of the Star, there is an article in there about the fruitcake toss coming up on Thursday. The headline, Fruitcake Toss Returns to Marion with Local Leaders Competing. Picture of Mary Ellen Withrow, myself, and Major League umpire, former Major League umpire, Larry Barnett. So looking forward to that. Now let's run down the list here again real quick. Fruitcake Toss coming up on Thursday. 7 p.m. here on this station, the Industrial Channel providing Buckeye Donuts for that event. We will have Chip, Bob Welsh, Mariah Rudolph, Amy Acton, Weslin Davis, Larry Barnett, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ralph Thacker, myself, Matt, Twyla Lang, Jason Schauber, Bill Collins, Jeff Ruth, Brian Murphy, Thaddeus Smith, Lois Fisher, Lowell Thurston, Governor DeWine, Naomi Craig, Terry Klein, Linda Sims, Sheriff Bales, Ed Pickett, President of the Y-Men, Miranda McGinnis, Mayor Kellogg, Martin Watts, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mike Augenstein, members of the Fire Department, Kevin Davidson, Frank Gibson, Ted Graham, Ron Prater, Aaron Rollins, Amy and Brock Parker, Tara Dyer, Salvation Army Bell Ringer, Heather Hill, Allison Russo, Rob Smith, Sean Barr, Ayers Ratliff, Dana Martin, Buckeye Guy, Ben Weber, Colleen Marshall, Pastor Steve Whitaker, Jim Jordan, Tracy Richardson, Glenn Coble, Santa Claus, Kent Halloran, the Grinch himself, Terry Tackett, Naomi's son, Andrew Schwartz, Abby from the Marion Star, Scott Kreider, and Tommy Reese. We will also have a Salvation Army bell ringer out there with one of their kettles, and there will be hot chocolate and coffee and water. The Y-Men have donated a Christmas tree that will be put at the 70-foot mark, and if you hit the tree, you will win a special prize. How about that? The Fruitcake Toss this Thursday, 7:15 p.m., and hopefully you'll be able to listen live on this station if you can't make it out to the Fruitcake Toss. Now, would anybody like to nominate somebody else? We're getting down to the 11th hour here on this event, but we'll take nominations right through the day of the event. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, thanks for the Marion Star, or to the Marion Star, for running that article. That's a good title, I think. Fruitcake Toss Returns to Marion with Local Leaders Competing. No election. It's all big-time athletic. Big-time athletic event. Coming up on Thursday. Well, we've talked a lot today about last night's city council meeting. I did learn during the break, when we were talking about the cuts to the fire department, that the fund that we were talking about, 217, was it, for the fire department, that is the levy, or 219, excuse me, 219, I think is what it was. Let's see here. 219, I believe, let me see if I get this information right here, 219 is the levy fund, so that reduction is not moving to a new building for the fire department. But there have been firefighters, you know, 25 or so of them, that have showed up the last 3 weeks at the meeting. Now, they have never said anything, but I'm guessing because of these cuts to the fire department is probably why they're showing up. That's a lot of serious stuff. Phone lines are open, by the way. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. All right, go ahead, caller.
I'm telling you what, one day with all this knowledge in my head, I'm just going to be dangerous. I'm going to strike it rich on something.
There you go.
It's all going to come together in one big puzzle, and it's going to make sense. So 219 is the levy fund, and what you said earlier was they're not making purchases out of that. Now, people don't freak out. We were allowed to buy equipment. That's part of the levy. We bought a fire truck already. I wonder if that's the ambulance that we're not buying.
Could be. It doesn't say. It just says reducing expenditures in the 219 fund under capital equipment.
Okay, so yeah, that is the levy fund. They're not going to make purchases with the levy money. I was just right. But I wanted to say that I just spoke with Tommy Reese last night, and he has a prior commitment.
We're going to miss it.
Out of town. Yep, he and his wife are traveling out of town, and I hope to have a nice time. Sounds like they have a nice evening planned. So.
Now, do you have a pick? Because, you know, it's in the Star now. We're in the paper edition today. Now, do you think that, who do you think is going to win this thing Thursday? Who would you put the money on? I was talking to Tara Dye here last night. She'll definitely be there. She's ready to go. Who do you think is going to win this thing on Thursday?
I'm not going to put money on who's going to win, but I can tell you there's already a conspiracy to lose. Ayers Ratliff volunteered his family.
Yes,
yes, last night.
I heard that.
And his wife and I are conspiring collectively to both lose it and not lose it. Well, we might lose it. We don't know. That's to be determined. But to lose this contest. So we want to go last. She and I are going to go last so we don't accidentally beat someone. And then we're going to both lose together somehow.
Well, I was looking at this list, and what's interesting,
that part's murky.
Well, here's an interesting thing. You know, this is the sixth year, so obviously we have had five past winners. Now, we've never had anybody repeat. Now, we've had repeat throwers, but we've never had anybody win twice. But interestingly enough, the first fruitcake toss champion, Ralph Thacker, is back in it this year. Brian Murphy, who won it last year, is in it this year. Sheriff Bales, who won it 2 years ago, is in it this year. Ed Pickett, the head of the Y-Men, who won it 3 years ago, is in it this year.
A lot of returning champions. This is intimidating for us average folks.
Well,
they kind of low expectations.
Well, but you know, I mean, obviously, Sheriff Bales and I think Ed Pickett were both there last year, and here came Brian Murphy and won the event. So, you know, we've got four returning champions out of the 5 years that we have done this. Here is the sixth year. Do you think there's possibly a returning champion, or is there somebody on this list who's going to blow them out of the water?
I don't know. It seems to be that there is no domination in this sport, that it's purely luck, and, you know, who's the biggest holiday cheermeister, sounds like.
Well, I was talking with Tara Dyer last night, and she talked about the sheriff winning 2 years ago but not winning last year. And I said, well, one of the reasons is the technique, and I've said this before, if you throw it low, it will hit the ground and obviously not go very far. But the biggest mistake that I see made, people think these big, strong guys are going to win it, and they don't.
Give me the tips.
Yeah, well, they don't, because what happens is they use all their power and they throw it, but they throw it up, because it's a toss.
Straight down, because it's a brick.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes a good distance, because they've got a lot of power behind it, but it goes more up than straight, and we're looking for distance, not height. So I think that's what happened to the sheriff last year, because the sheriff I know threw 2 years ago over 70 foot. But last year, I don't even think he got to 60 foot.
Oh, man, that's insane. I'm aiming for six, and anything beyond that is a win.
You know, most people fall between 30 and 50. 30
really?
And 50. Yeah, 30 and 50 is usually where people are.
I definitely want to see this now. So, yeah, we're going to be repping the hood over here, the Ratliffs and the Craig clan, and we're going to do our very best to lose. Well, the ladies in the group are.
No, it could be a win. I was also talking to Tara last night.
This is us plotting after city council, so this is how big of a deal it is through text message about everybody's still going on about fruitcake toss.
I'm telling you.
The world exploded in council chambers last night, sort of. And we're talking about how can we lose collectively throw the fruitcake toss.
But no, I'm telling you, this fruitcake toss is the way to go. I mean, can you imagine? When people pull up the Marion Star in the archives years from now, they'll say, what were people talking about in Marion on December 9th? Fruitcake toss returns to Marion with local leaders competing.
And then local citizens conspiring how to throw it.
That's right. And Larry, listen, we've got Larry Barnett there. Now, this was a major league umpire, so he might have to ref this thing.
Well, see, I'm really trying to confuse everybody and get them to bet on me to lose, and I'm going to pull out a major victory. I'm going to hit a house on Cleveland Avenue. That's how far I'm going to throw the thing.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the best years we had was the year that, again, all these men showed up, and this kid, nobody knew who he was, Donovan Bauer, he worked at Donato's. I don't even think he was 21 at the time. He shows up and wins this thing, and that can happen.
And I know it's a different sport, but my son has gone to turkey shoots before, and not necessarily just turkey shoots, like sharpshooting type stuff, and he's beaten grown men.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they aren't typically used to that. So, good for Donovan. Maybe Donovan will pull out 2-time champ.
Well, now, have you called your good friend, Wesleyan Davis?
I have not.
Oh.
See, I did the connection between you and Kreider last night. I showed you that. I got that set up for you.
He doesn't know, basically, is where we're at. If he gets off work early enough, he'll come.
Well, it's short notice. Can't give anybody a hard time.
Well, no, and honestly, if everybody showed up on this list, we would be there all night. So,
Who else? Is there anything else better to do? Apparently not, because we're coming up with a strategy to toss a fruitcake.
I don't think people realize the powerful event this has become.
I'm excited about it. I'm going to see people that I know and like. I'm going to see people that I know and don't like. And
hey, there you go.
We're going to have a great time.
Nothing says holidays like seeing people you know and don't like.
See?
No, but
I'm still coming, and I'm going to be well-behaved and good spirits and all that other stuff.
And I love the new caveat that there's going to be a live Christmas tree on the 70-foot yard
That's
line.
That's cool, and I think it's good that the Salvation Army is going to be there, and I hope everybody that shows up at least brings a dollar or two with them. Maybe a five would be great. And donate some money to the Salvation Army.
And we'll have that bell going out there, ring-a-ling, ring-a-ling.
And the shelter's going to get the tree when it's all said and done. I mean, it's peanut butter jelly. I don't know if they're bringing the truck, but I know Amy and Brock are going to be there. And
yep.
We're having a nice time.
Yeah. And when we give Larry Barnett his plaque, the crowd, I hope, will spontaneously burst in to take me out to the ball game.
I'm supposed to be organizing that piece. There's so many moving pieces and parts of this.
Now, don't forget that, because that's going to be a moment that we'll all remember.
Okay, well, I'll have it queued up on my phone and see what we can do about getting a little Bluetooth mic, and maybe we'll make the kids sing it.
Well, there'll be a tear in his eye if this man, you know, celebrating 50 years of this controversial call in 1975 at the World Series, Major League Baseball umpire, Larry Barnett, here's your plaque commemorating
Redemption?
Your career. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And then the crowd bursts into take me out to the ball game. What a tear in the eye they'll be.
'Tis a Christmas to remember.
Well, then we also sing a couple songs, because there is a point during the fruitcake toss where the tabulation has to be made.
It just sounds funny.
Well, it's fun. Trust me, it's funny.
We just say it was so, you know, it's just so matter of fact. During the fruitcake toss.
Well, you know, it's I kind of have learned to think of it like the Macy's Parade.
Step to the line.
Yeah, I've thought of it. I've started to think of it as the Macy's Parade.
Are we going to have foot faults or anything like that?
Well, you know what?
I need to know.
All I know is
I'm a planner.
All I know is that we'll sing a couple Christmas songs. Now, usually, Jingle Bells, everybody knows that one. And I forget which one we did.
The Batman Smells edition or the
no,
one?
No. We do the nice one.
Okay.
And I think we also did we do Rudolph? Everybody seems to know Rudolph. It was Rudolph or Frosty or something like that. But we do that while the scores are being tabulated. And then there you go.
Sounds like a good time. And it really is the only holiday-related thing that I'm doing this year.
Well,
I'm having a small Christmas gathering.
It's huge. And the Buckeye donuts and, oh, the whole thing is just, it's just gigantic.
Well, it's the real Christmas joy that we needed after last night, isn't
we
it?
We certainly do. And no cuts are being made to this year's fruitcake toss. We're adding.
It's expanding.
Yes,
and
yes.
And it's organically. See how I tied that word? Organically expanding. People want to do this, so they are contributing and showing up and doing these things on their own. It's not being forced on them.
And you know what I thought last night? This was pointed out to me that Thursday night is a night that the Night Moves bus operates. So this will be within the hours because they run like 6 to 10, right? Or something like that?
5 to 11, I think.
5 to 11.
Something to 11, yeah.
Well, that's fine as well because we're 7 to 8. So people could take the Night Moves bus to this event if you don't want to drive.
But, hey, I don't think that's a bad idea. And you know what? Ironically, it's strange, but I was having a conversation during your break about Night Moves because somebody sent me a message like, well, you were right. I was like, you know what? I actually feel bad about being right. After listening last night and to the woman that was up there not long ago and hearing that people are using this for work and they're using this to get to stores and things like that in the evening, and a couple of people had made comments on my pages that their kids are using it third shift to get home. They get dropped off and then they get picked up by the regular bus to get home, and you're hearing all of this stuff now, and you're like, this isn't a service. It looks like I said last night, it would have been nice if we could tell them that, hey, you're not going to have a ride at the beginning of the year. But it's a service now that we've given people, and they need it, obviously. And we're taking it away from them. And a person's also losing a source of income.
Yeah, so it's sad. It's sad.
I do feel bad. I could gloat in a moment of this, but I'm seeing bad, and it's sad, and I feel bad. And then listening to some of the things last night of outstanding revenue that's out there, we ended the last hour on sewer bills. You know, we know those are going up. They've already told us. They've said it in the newspaper, and I was thinking about this last night. They need to stop telling everything to the Marion Star, and they need to start telling it to us. That's like I asked last night, when are you going to tell us what's going to happen? Not everybody has a subscription to the Marion Star and can click on those links and read them. And I'm not being mean. Not everybody can read, and not everybody reads the newspaper. So they need to actually tell us what's going on instead of depending on the newspaper to get the word out there for them. But there's money that could be collected before they come hit the taxpayers. We found out last night that the court staff, this county is... there's a state Supreme Court order that the county has been ordered to fund half the court's salary and benefits, some of it municipal court. It's inside City Hall, but it is a county-wide court. It covers all of Marion County. If you get a ticket anywhere in Marion County and you need to go to court, you're going there. The county government contributes no money, well, very little money to that court, and they are ordered to contribute much more to those salaries and benefits, and we don't bother collecting it from the county, and I don't understand why. But we're going to ask the residents of the city of Marion to pay more money to live here, but we are not going to ask the county to give our money back to the court so we don't have to double pay for it. I don't get why we aren't tapping into all the unpaid property taxes. Why aren't we asking the prosecutor to prosecute? And I'm not just talking about like my neighbor across the street, and I'm just saying I own the house across the street. I'm not talking about the neighbor down the street that doesn't pay his taxes. I'm talking about when you read these lists of people and the same 50 names, their same company owns 50 properties and they don't pay their taxes on them. There is one landlord two houses down from me that owns about 40 properties, and his name has appeared about 40 times this year for unpaid taxes. Why aren't we tapping into those people? Why are we making people like Mary pay more to live here when there are so many uncollected sources of revenue? Just the court, for example. You know, and you're talking about Tara Dyer, and she mentioned Judge Ballinger, and I wasn't speaking specifically of Judge Ballinger last night, but if she doesn't want the courts discussed without Judge Ballinger being there, then I would ask Tara Dyer to invite Judge Ballinger there by the end of the year. If her court is not to be discussed without her being there, then please show up to one of the meetings so we can discuss what's going on.
Well, I think the point that was made last night was, I mean, this was not the first discussion that has been had at her expense. I think there have been about three now.
She sued the city. I didn't realize all that went on.
Well, yes, and I interviewed her at the time, and I interviewed Mayor Schertzer at the time, and we did a whole thing on that. And I think that's a rather complicated matter.
It is, but when you're sitting in a courtroom that's full of walnut and just beautifully hand, just a gorgeous courtroom that has been completely redone, and you hear that the court's sitting on $2 million, and now me and Mary are going to have to pay more for our sewer bills, and the people that work at Honda are going to have to pay more in income tax, I don't jive.
Well,
and
like I said,
firefighters sitting to the left of me that are taking cuts.
Here's the thing. I'm not saying that you have to invite her down there, and I'm not saying that you have to invite Vidya down there. But I think if people really want these, here's a problem with government, okay? Here's the big problem. Now, we can complain, and we can yell, and we can do, and we can say this is wrong, and this needs to be fixed, and whatever. But for whatever reason, we never plan. You know, if I was going to try to reduce the treasurer's raise. Now, I don't have to invite her, but I probably would ask her beforehand, is this a problem for you? And even if she said it was a problem with her, I still might go ahead and propose it, but at least I can say
it. And then let her explain why it's a problem for her.
Right. And I think that's not used enough. Because I think if you couch it either way, if she says, you know what, I understand, I agree. And then you say, hey, I talked to Vidya this afternoon. She doesn't mind giving the raise back, so I'm going to propose an amendment to get...
Right.
I think they all vote.
At least they should have asked her, because it kind of makes her look like a jerk, even though we don't know what her opinion on the situation is.
And again, they don't have to, but I think that's the approach that is wrong.
Yes, that's it. Because likely, she probably would have said, I don't need your $3,000.
Right, and also the same thing with Judge Ballinger. This has become an issue, and if she truly is sitting on $2 million and she's doing all these bad things that she's been accused of...
I'm not going to say they're bad things.
Well, she's not being talked about in a loving manner, let's put it that way.
I'm not sure that people realize, because people might not have been to court. When you go there and you pay whatever it is that you're paying, there's a breakdown of the fee.
Yeah, but
and
bring
it
the
says,
woman.
It says computer fee. It says such and such service fund. It says this fund. It says that fund. And those funds are supposed to support the court.
Yeah, but say, Judge Ballinger,
yep,
we're bringing you up tonight. And if you can't come and explain this, we're going to go to the
we're
next step.
We're going to talk about it anyway.
Yeah, so I don't think she's been given any heads up like that. I don't think that she's
okay.
been...
Okay, then I agree. We should invite her. But
right,
this is also a known issue. Now, see, what I said last night wasn't, oh, let's bring the judge in here and put her on the spot. I said, let's pursue the county for the money they've been court-ordered to pay us.
Well, if I really felt that Judge Ballinger was doing these things, and maybe she is, I don't know, but if I truly did enough to where I would bring it up three consecutive times, I think I would invite the woman there to explain why she's doing this.
Fair enough. But I think we should invite the county commissioners then. Actually, I was looking around in that room last night, and I was looking right at Mark Russell. And what can we do to fix this? Because he's the city attorney. Shouldn't he be asking the county to comply with the order from the state Supreme Court to pay us our money?
I don't know. Well, and apparently there's some kind... You know, like a
and
statement
that's what
was...
Ballinger took us... When Ballinger sued us, that was the order that came down from the state Supreme Court.
But
we paid for a court order that's not even being enforced.
Yeah, but now that even got a little vague last night, because the sentence that followed it was, we signed an agreement that nobody would talk about it, but she's out there talking about it. Now, I think she would probably have a little different take on that. Now, I don't know.
You know what my take is? The county isn't paying the city the money for the court employees.
Well, get the judge. You know what? There's a meeting next week of the Finance Committee, and there's another City Council meeting. Invite Vidya, invite Judge Ballinger, and bring these subjects up again. Nothing has passed. The budget's not passed. The pay raises are not a done deal. You can still put that amendment in there. So get these two people there, and let's find out what the problem is.
Okay. You know what I like? Bodine told him last night. He said, hey, if you guys want to work with us, just let us know. I mean, we're willing. We're open. And okay, dude, it's like 2 weeks before this thing needed to be passed. Where were you in September?
Well, and so it goes.
And so it goes.
Hey, thanks.
Take care, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 42 minutes past the hour. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to weigh in. And again, I'm not... I don't know what the situation exactly is with Judge Ballinger, if she has a surplus of money over there. And I don't know what the situation is with Vidya, the new treasurer coming in January. And no, city council does not have to ask them to be there, and they don't have to get their approval to propose amendments or do anything of that nature. But if they were there, maybe we could get something done, because when they're not there, it's almost as if, I don't know. I'll tell you one thing last night that was a little problematic, is that the majority of the votes that were taken last night, the amendment for the pay raises to get rid of Vidya's pay raise, the vote to suspend the rules on postponing city council's pay raise for 2 years, the creation of the commercial building codes department in Marion, they were uniform votes last night. Rollins, Schauber, and Ratliff voted no, and everybody else voted yes. Now, that looks odd during a meeting. It just looks odd. Now, I'm not saying there was any collusion or anything of that nature, but when things like that happen, they just look odd. When the votes are all coming down like that, you know, passing the 25% budget, it all came down that way. Rollins might have voted for the... I can't remember if he voted for the building code or not. In any event, it's odd when the votes are that close, uniform-wise. So, I think that's a problem, too. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would you like to nominate somebody for the fruitcake toss, or do you have any thoughts on last night's city council meeting that we are talking about here today on the big program? We've got 15 minutes left in the broadcast, and we would love to hear from you. So if you've been thinking about calling in, please feel free to do so. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We would love to talk to you. It's always good to hear from the listening audience and know what is on your mind. I'm trying to think, is there anything else on this budget cut paper for the city that is of interest? I'll tell you, the senior center has a whole lot of things going on. It seems like they made minor cuts in a lot of different places, which is kind of interesting. So that looks good all the way around, I guess. In any event, obviously there's going to be cuts. Now, are people being laid off, or are people positions just not being filled? It kind of looks as if positions are just not being filled at this particular point, is what it all looks like. All right, go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, yes.
So, there is now going to be the establishment of a building codes department?
Yes, that did pass last night.
That passed.
Yep.
How are they going to fund it?
Well, it was my understanding that this was going to make money, not cost money.
And where have we heard that before? There has been no governmental agency on the face of this planet that has ever done anything that's self-supporting. And I doubt that Aaron Rollins voted for it, because why would you create another government entity that's supposed to correct another governmental entity? You know, it's ridiculous. And how many people are actually taking advantage of this? How can a government entity located here that would hire a third party carry any more weight than what people do to file an objection to whatever's going on.
Well, the
from what little I've experienced from those meetings and conversations, they seem to be most upset with, okay, I start out, I have my first inspection with Inspector A. I do everything Inspector A asked me to do. Now I have Inspector B. He doesn't like the way I've done it according to Inspector A. So there's never a continuity of inspectors from the beginning to the end.
Well, I think it's
pressure needs to be put upon the state to make sure that you start out with this inspector and you end up with this inspector.
Well, there was a gentleman who got up last night who works in construction and says he's never had a problem with the state. So I think it's the type of work you're doing and the type of structures you're working on. And
a commercial structure is a commercial structure.
Well, now, no, I think older buildings have more trouble.
Old buildings versus brand new from the ground foundation up. Construction's construction. They all should have the same codes, and to bring an old building up to code if you're modifying it. All of those inspectors, there should be a continuity of inspectors.
Well, the problem is here, the biggest problem that people are going to face now, if they're not aware that this happened, is that it is going to cost more money to get this done locally, and you no longer have the state as an option, because when you institute this, you can no longer go to the state.
Gee whiz. That kind of sounds like a city charter in a way.
Well, I don't know about that. I think this was something that council approved.
You know, we have a third party that supposedly trumps what the state has. So if we've got that third party that's doing this, circumventing the state, why is it that they have more power over the state than what
they don't? It's the state that says we're not going to do this. If you are going to have a local department, we're not going to service that area. They don't tell the state to stay out. The state says they're going to stay out.
Well, if I recall, then they're only doing this for a 1-year trial or something like that.
I think that they'll revisit it in a year. I think.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's see if it makes any money. If it does, we've got a lot of debt to pay down.
We'll see.
Yep. Do it better tomorrow.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say, we'd love to hear from you. Still 10 minutes left in the big program today. Tuesday, December the 9th, 2025, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And don't forget, we are just 2 days away, 48 hours and some change, away from the big fruitcake toss, Thursday night, December the 11th, 7 p.m. Pick up a Marion Star today if you can find one on the news racks at the grocery stores or the gas stations, and you will see an article in there about the fruitcake today. How about that? Sell those newspapers. Make that Marion Star proud. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any thoughts on the fruitcake toss? Would they like to add any names or any thoughts on anything going on with the city and last night's meeting, as it were? I don't see a whole lot. I think we've covered it all. Commercial code, the commercial code department, the establishment of that locally passed, the 25% budget, the first reading happened on that, pay raises for council being pushed out 2 years, we had the first reading on that. the amendment to take away the incoming treasurer's raise. That's kind of where it is right now. So that's where a lot of these things seem to be residing. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, can we nail down the rules to this fruitcake toss? Because the way you're going about it is similar to how the city puts together a budget. You're changing it all the time.
No, I don't think I've changed it.
So what are the rules? Because you have a Christmas tree target and then the longest throw, but you only get one throw. How is that possible?
Here's what happens. Okay, now you come up and you'll have a Claxton fruitcake. Now, there'll be a line at the beginning of the field, I guess is what I would say. You put your toes on that line. You cannot run up to it. You put your toes flat-footed on the line. You get your fruitcake, and you get one underhanded toss. That's why it's called the fruitcake toss and not the fruitcake throw. You toss it. Yes, so those are the rules. And the farthest throw wins.
Okay.
Okay, so now where is the confusion in the rules here?
You added the tree target.
Oh, the tree target. Okay, here's the tree target. The tree will be sitting on the 70-foot mark because very few people have ever thrown the fruitcake 70-foot, being that it's a toss. That it's hard to do that. Now, let's say you throw it 75 feet, but you don't hit the tree. If that's the farthest toss, you still get the plaque. You are the winner. You are the fruitcake champion because that is the farthest toss. But if you hit the tree, you'll be given a special prize because that's a whole different technique.
It's a different technique and a different prize, which means it's impossible to get both prizes. You have to pick a prize because you only get one throw.
I don't think that's right, though. That's why we set it on
the... you're making up the game.
No, well, yeah, I put some amendments in there. We had to amend it from last year's rules.
And your parliamentary procedure is about as good as city council.
Just about. Here's the thing.
When I go to throw...
You get up there to throw.
If I show up to this festival...
No, you're going to be there.
Okay. So if I throw... I have to pick whether I want to try to hit the tree or I want to try to throw it the farthest. So I have to pick what plaque I want.
No, here's the thing. Okay, because the tree will be at the 70-foot mark. I don't think anybody threw 70-foot last year. So chances are, if you hit the tree, you're going to be the winner. I'm just covering my rear end in the station's rear end to say that if by some odd reason... two people hit the tree. Well,
then what are you going to do? Because you don't have tiebreakers, and that's a little bit of a sore subject for me from last year.
No, I think
I don't tie.
No, I think we did have a tiebreaker last year, didn't we?
No, you said one throw and that's it, and you sent us all home.
No. We don't. We have a tiebreaker if it's for the winner, not for second place.
Well, I needed that to determine exactly who was second, third, and last.
We did have like a three-way tie last year for second place.
Yes, we did.
And I don't understand how that even happened, because what are the chances?
Through the same distance is how it happened.
Well, right, but I mean, we had 68 feet last year. I think the farthest throw was 68 feet. And what are the odds that three people would throw 55?
Apparently, it was pretty good last year.
Apparently, it was pretty good. Well, but don't you think if you throw 70-foot, because that's where the tree is going to be, and you hit that tree, don't you think more than likely you're going to be the winner?
No, because I thought I was going to win last year, and I ended up tying. First loser.
Second. Right. Well, you would not have beaten Brian Murphy out through you.
Right.
Right. So he was the winner regardless.
I know. So we'll just have to see how this plays out Thursday,
So do you understand the tree?
No, the rules still make no sense.
No, they do. And if you hit the tree, I'll be really impressed if anybody hits the tree, to be honest.
Right, because you have to have an accurate throw and a throw long enough, or a toss accurate and long enough to hit the tree.
Right, you really have to be good if you hit that tree. Because
so will it be kind of like horseshoes, the closest to the tree? Because you'll have this plaque, you got to get rid of it.
We do have to get rid of the plaque, yes.
So then there needs to be more rules. It's like horseshoes, the closest to the pin.
Well, no, the closest to the tree, then, would be the winner, because that would be the person who threw the farthest.
So then, really? What if someone throws the farthest and misses?
Well, I think they would still be closest to the tree, because nobody's going to throw it like 80 feet.
You don't know that. I mean, I may have been training. I may have been in training for 364 days.
You know what? I hope you are, because we have had 5 fruitcake tosses, and we've never had a repeat winner. And we have 4 past winners in it this year, and I'm pretty sure all 4 past winners are coming. So I'm afraid we're going to have a repeat, and I don't want a repeat.
Well, you will definitely have a repeat. You will definitely have a repeat loser, for sure.
Well, we've had repeat losers. We've never had a 2-time champion.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah, we've had that. But we've never had a 2-time champion. And I would hate to see that, because I like that we've, you know, went through 5 of these and never had a double. You're going to hit the tree?
Well, you keep mucking up the rules, and you
never
get that repeat.
By the way, the tree is going to have ornaments on it, and I believe something else. So it's going to be a little bit of a decorated tree.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'll see you Thursday.
All right. See you then.
See you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, there you go. See, that's big stuff. This fruitcake toss is where it's all at. Now, you got to get your paper today. Get your newspaper. That's like your... You know, Governor DeWine regret... He didn't outlaw. But he regrets sports gambling. That he signed sports gambling into law. So you never know. You know, I don't know if there's going to be any bets taken on this on Thursday. I have nothing to do with any betting. I'm like Pete Rose. I have nothing to do with any betting. I don't know anything about that. I don't know what the odds makers are saying. Maybe tonight I'll talk to see if I can find a bookie and see what the odds are on this fruitcake toss coming up on Thursday at 7 o'clock. I'm telling you what, it's the event of the season. That's what they're calling it, the event of the season. Will anybody hit that tree? Who's going to... Will anybody throw it 70 feet? It's all up in the air right now. Thursday night, we're headed into it. It is a mega, mega event. The event of the holiday season. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout, but I'll be back tomorrow and we'll continue the conversation.
Holiday season. From 101-year-old oldest working actor in Hollywood, Norman Lloyd, reading How the Grinch Stole Christmas.